Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the ever precious and the worthy name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior. This is your Bible teacher of the air speaking, J.W. Bramhall, giving you a hearty welcome to the continued study of the precious and the holy word of God. We're taking a series of studies regarding the future glory of the church. We have touched upon some of the precious truths pertaining to the purposes of God for the church. We begin today a distinct ministry concerning the future glory of the church. We read in the book of the Revelation, chapter 21, and we shall seek to cover by God's grace from verse 9 through chapter 22 and verse 5, the glory, the future glory of the church. For this is a description of the glory of the bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. For our meditation today, we read verses 9, 10, and 11. John writing by the Spirit to say, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." This is the opening reading of the great description of the bride of Christ, the Lamb's wife, which is the church. We have noticed in chapter 19 in our preceding messages, the marriage of the Lamb to the bride was held or will be held in heavenly secrecy, away from the eyes of the world in heaven above. But when we consider what is before us on this occasion and through this section, we find that the display of the bride will be for all the earth as well as the universe to see. Oh, may I repeat it, my beloved Christian. You that are interested in the future of the church and its glory, the display, the public, the universal display of the bride's glory will be manifested for all the universe to see, as it is described in Revelation 21 and 22. Now, may I point out the reason for this? For there is a reason. The Spirit of God certainly gives the reason for it in the words of the Lord Jesus, which are found in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. How precious to recognize the words of the Savior concerning the glory of the church. Listen to the words of the Savior as we read. John, chapter 17, verse 21. "The prayer of the Savior saying that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me." My beloved, this is the reason for the glory of the church. Though, and we confess it with sadness, though the unity of the church has failed to be displayed upon the earth as it should be, yet the world will see it in the glory when it is manifested at the coming of our Lord. May I say, my beloved fellow believer, you and I who belong to that bride of Christ, which is the church, sometime the world will know that God loved us and that we are his treasure forever. And may I state when upon us the world will gaze and the universe will gaze? They will contest, as it were. Those Christians were right for trusting in Christ and claiming to belong to Him. The world will confess we were right when we trusted Christ, when they see our glory. May I point out that the Word of God very clearly indicates the promise of this glory. In chapter 5 of verses 1 and 2 of the book of Romans, there is a promise that we who are saved, having been justified by faith, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. How precious to realize we have the promise of it. May I repeat that again? Turn to your Bible at your convenience, my Christian friend. Read Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. And you will find, because we have been justified by faith in and through our Lord Jesus Christ, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So we have the promise of it. Though, my beloved, may I go further to state, we have the preparation for it. Our very present occupation with Christ in this scene, and our present occupation for Christ, is also preparation for that glory which shall be eternally manifested. And then in the scriptures that we have read and which will follow, we have the publicity of that glory. Oh, may I repeat those truths again? Let them cling to your soul. We have the promise of this glory in Romans 5 and verse 2. We have the preparation for it in our present occupation with Christ, and you may read of it in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, as well as in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31. Whether we eat or whether we drink, we are told to do all for the glory of God. But in our scripture of the Revelation, which we consider now, we have the public manifestation of that glory. Will you note with me the words that the angel told John? Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. This is the description of the public display of the church in the glory that is to come. Oh, my beloved believer, may I remind you again, we shall be fully displayed, and the glory of God will be revealed, as we shall see, in us and through us, in that wonderful coming day. And God will display the glory of the bride, the church, who is the Lamb's wife. Note in our 10th verse of Revelation 21, John's exalted view of this glory. For John writes, the angel carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the Holy Jerusalem, and so on. The elevated view that was given to John. In our book of the Revelation, John, we have found in times past, has been taken into a wilderness to see a vision. John also stood upon the sands of the sea to see another vision. But in this vision, John is carried to a great and high mountain, the heavenly elevation, from a great height, that he might look upon the glory of the bride, the Lamb's wife. Then will you also note with me, and this is important, the heavenly character of that glory, the heavenly character of that bride. He showed me that great city called the Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. My beloved, may I state, it will not be the glory of the world that will be written upon the glory of the bride. It is the heavenly character of God above, as it descends out of heaven from God, this holy Jerusalem. Note with me the opening words of verse 11, telling us the glory of it is this, having the glory of God. And the light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Beloved, let me repeat with emphasis those five words in the opening of verse 11. That glorious bride will be seen having the glory of God. This is indeed the consummation of the church's glory, when radiating in her and through her, literally as well as spiritually, will be the fullness of God's glory. And in our chapter, there are literal words, and there we shall find also figurative language being used to express the glory of God that the church will display. That glory will be described in the foundations of the city, in the wall of the city, the light of the city, the street of the city, and all the description of this city within and without. Every bit of it is glory. God's glory wrapping the saints all around them, and they dwelling in the very midst of his glory. For the glory of God, we are told in our chapter, did lighten the city. Oh, may I pause in worship and wonder and praise with you, my friends, to recognize the glory to which Christ will bring his bride, and the glory which shall be displayed in and through the bride, which is the church, in that coming day. We have no hesitancy to believe from Scripture. This is the description of the future glory of the church. And as that city, as it is so called, the holy Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, coming down from above, it is the city that describes, possesses, and radiates the glory of God as residing and radiating in and through the great church. May I say very humbly but gratefully, I am delighted that by God's grace I shall be part of that glory. Not that I am worthy of it, never. But oh, I think of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who though he was rich, Paul says, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. My beloved saint, lift your heart up. In the midst of your pain and sorrow, disappointment, as well as disillusionments of this scene, remember, you will someday be in glory. And you that are not saved, come to Christ and be in that glory. Father, we pray, bless thy word to the comfort and conviction of saints and sinners. In Jesus' name, amen.